Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
Discussions here on Blog Talk Radio, which is a part of All Poetry Over the World's largest web poetry site. Inside of that is Team of Voices, which I am a part of. I am Sweet Pea. And tonight, we're going to talk about Black Friday. And I don't mean the shopping day. I mean the dark days. Tonight is about going dark and having fun. And I already have some great people on my show. We're going to say hello to Rackentor. Hello, Rackentor. How are you?
I'm good, sweet. What's going on?
Not much. We're going to say hello to Wayne Jett. Hello, Wayne Jett. How are you?
Hello, sweet and Rack. Nice to hear your voice again.
Hey, the reigning Tic Mac Poe champion.
Reigning.
Yay.
For a while.
For a while, and we just listened to Words I Cannot Say, written by our own Jay Hatter and sung by Shout Even Shy. And if you want to check out that poem, come on by and look up Jay Hatter. He's also in Team of Voices, and I absolutely love that song. Lyrics are wonderful, and the way Shout Even Shy sings it is even more wonderful. But I just got a message from Mr. Wayne. And he's like, oh, I got to go. I'm cooking turkey dinner tonight. and I got to make sure everything is perfect. I'm really excited about that. And Wayne, I got to, gonna have to take a minute though, because I have to load your stuff.
So, well, I've got an hour, so take your time. Take your time. I got an hour.
All right. All right, you got an hour. So that's really good.
Getting loaded.
I have to, that's good, because it's going to take me that long to load it, because I take forever to do that. I'm really excited about what we're going to do here, because, you know, it's dark, it's wonderful, it's great. I love to do all that fun stuff. Okay, we're going to say hello to Hatter. Hello, Hatman. How are you?
Hey, unmuted. That was quick.
I know. I'm on top of it. Bam, bam, bam. We're talking about the darkest days. Yeah, that dark day between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
Horrible days when everybody's wanting, you know, don't know what to do with themselves as the year comes to an end. You know, the time between Thanksgiving and then you run into Christmas and then you run into New Year's, and everybody's like, oh, it's the year's ending, and the year's ending, we got to figure out what we're going to do. And then you have that fresh new year, I think is bunk. It's just clearly bunk, because, you know, what's going to happen between? It really is. It's just, we've gone through a whole year, and what's so special about a new one? It's just another freaking day.
Football's over.
Football's ending.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really start again? Do we start fresh and anew? No, this is why we're doing a dark show tonight. It's all dark.
Maybe when you're young.
Maybe.
Like sweet.
I don't know.
Yeah, we're setting our ways.
I get older too. I turn another year older in January, like 9 days after the, 8 days after the first. I have a birthday, so I'm always like, eh, whatever. Maybe we'll see.
Mine came all at once.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I was going through my 40s and 50s, and I woke up and I was 60. What the hell? I all of a sudden
I'm
60.
Almost there. I got a few more years, but I'll be 60 soon enough. But I always look at myself and go, damn, you look good for your age. So I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Deb. How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I see now my loader's here, so hopefully she can get Wayne in the studio for me. So I don't have to do it.
Oh, I will go do that right now.
Since we got most of the crowd here, Gressman is no longer undefeated.
Yes.
Oh. I heard Wayne was a reigning champion. So that's amazing to me. Yeah.
Well, he beat AP. He beat AP. I beat Gress.
Gress? Oh,
less
my God. You
points.
Won one? I'm so excited for you, Hatter. I have not won one. I have been tied with you twice, but I have never won.
Happy day AP this week.
I think you're mistaking me for somebody else.
Nope. I am not mistaking you for someone else, Hatter. You're the only person I've ever tied with, and I've been beaten twice. But you, I have tied with.
We did?
Trust me.
Yes,
we did.
She
you
knows when
she's tied.
Oh,
I do know when you tied me
up.
Yes, with me.
Oh, wow.
Hatter.
I'll have to go take a look.
Oh, Hatter. Try to remember me. I know I'm forgettable in your mind.
Oh.
But we did tie. I think you beat me once and you tied me the other time.
I think I'm going to go.
Yeah. But you did beat me and then you tied. We tied and you beat me. So you tied me up and beat me, Hatter. There we go.
Right.
Sounds like a hot tempo.
Because that's the way, that's the way it works, you know? Yeah.
Money for nothing.
It's going to be, you know, one of those happy days. So what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Hatter? Other than spending it alone like you have for the last 20 years.
I have a radio show with some racketeer. Wait for the radio show that night. Racketeer. If we're watching football, I might drink some beer. I haven't drank in a long time.
You might drink some beer.
I might. Yeah, sitting and drinking beer, watching football. I bitched about not being able to do it so many times. I better embrace it when I have got a chance. You never know.
Really?
Go for it.
That's awesome.
League. Standings.
Well, I know since we're all going to have a great dinner, I thought we would start with dinner because there's nothing better than talking about dinner. So let's have dinner. Okay? Let's have a little dinner. Everybody ready to have a little dinner?
Okay,
so dinner's on the board.
Feed me.
Oh. Okay, hold on.
Get to the board. We've got a little dinner. Dinner is served.
Pass me
a never got a dinner.
Everybody
I never got a dinner.
See it?
Dinner.
All right. Everybody, you see it? Dinner is served.
Wayne's hogging the cranberries.
All right. Dinner is served. Slaughter is messy. The slashing and the hacking. Haphazardly sprouts. Chaotic blood splatters. Design. Operation. Precision. Drug shouts. Shallow cuts. Rivers flow. Monet paints masterpiece. In serenity. Listening to lab and spa. Classy, not trashy. Classy, an antiquated masterpiece of perfection. Far beyond boastful stating the truth, gray veil covers the mystical. Inhale the sweet scents of burgundy and whiskey, fine wines and liquors, bottles from history stolen, and auctions for delectable dinner entrees. Bottles of excellent olive oil, moistened skin liberally, fry crisp and deliciously, appetizers with a touch of gray matter chunks. The table waits in white linen, ladies shine in elegant dresses, men in black tied up, rip up cold blood soup, warm hearts and crispy kidneys, medium rare liver, served with fava beans, dessert no longer, and whipped cream. Please come and eat dinner, or be dinner, your choice. End poem.
A little long.
I remember this one, sweet. Man, oh, man, I, this is an award winner, everybody. I mean, this was part of the beginning of the reign of our Queen of Darkness here. I was like, I loved how you jumped on Hopkins and just went flat in for the Hannibal Lecter servant dinner. And I was looking at my comment, and I said that well, I might as well read the whole thing. Oh, this is too cool for words. Let me grab the Chianti on the way over. watch out for those fava beans. And then, of course, thank you for entering the contest. And then you got an award. And sorry about it. There must be a fire. Jesus Christ. You wouldn't want anybody to move out of their way, of course. People are so obnoxious. But, no, I mean, I love from the very beginning, Slaughter is messy. I'm like, well, for a second there, I got sidetracked and thought, well, not if Dexter does it, but then back to the poem. Inhale the sweet scent of burgundy and whiskeys, fine wine and liquors, bottled from history, stolen in auctions for delectable dinner entrees. And you're hearing this stanza about all these wines and the food. You start thinking about the foods to go with it. But then you get zapped back into, like reality here, because we're heading on our way to fancy linens where we're going to be served kidneys and liver. And I don't eat liver, let alone people liver. So I think I'll take a pass on the dinner, but really cool home. Hatter, what you think?
Well, disturbing. No, I didn't get the point. Slaughter is messy. It sure is. The liver. I was hanging in there until you got to the liver. I threw up a little bit in my mouth.
No.
Appetizers with a touch of gray matter chunks. Yeah, with cheese. A little cheese on it, a little cheese.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to go in and get something to eat, but, you know, I think it will pass.
Yeah.
Right? I was just going to say, we need to start a folder called Diet. And
yeah.
Start it with this one. And then when you want a snack instead, go and read the Diet folder, because, like, ew. Great
a little long with
oh, that's
cream.
Funny.
that's
great.
I did put Wayne's in, Refresh Your Studio, and Raconteur, if there's one you want in there, just tell me, and would you like to comment on Sweet?
Well, I'd rather comment on her food. She knows what I think about her. But, yeah, I was with you all the way, you know, and you know, you always have a little cheese with your wine. I thought the whole thing was great. You know, it read like a recipe. And, you know, the metaphor is lovely, too, because, you know, anyone that's ever prepared a Thanksgiving at all knows what you go through to get to that point, and 20 minutes later it's, like, gone. But, I mean, each moment is an escalation of the mess. It's like plates upon bowls and, you know, stains and spills and fighting over who got the last roll and knocking stuff over. And, you know, I think, you know, there's always some dish that somebody's trying to hide, liver or some, you know, offal that you know, I'm not going to tell them that it's in there until after they eat it and tell me how wonderful it is. You know, I actually most
oh,
of them,
yeah.
they make the stuffing and the turkey liver is in the stuffing. And they don't tell anybody until afterwards. And everyone's like, oh, your stuffing was fantastic. Do you remember how you told me you don't like liver? Well, guess what?
Yeah, they call it pate. Anything called pate or foie gras, you'd be aware of.
Foie gras.
Yeah.
I love that word.
Very cool comment. And I'll tell you what, you only fool me once, then I don't eat what you cook anymore. Just saying. Wayne Gent, what did you think?
Oh, man, this is my kind of poem. Crispy kidneys, yum, my favorite. I'll be there early so you can serve me. Jug shots and sour cuts.
All right.
I can feel it now. They sound pretty delicious, so have a bite. Great job.
She did say she wants to
have mine too, Wayne. My sweet, you have your mic back.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad you all had fun at dinner, because that's what the season is all about, yummy dinner. All right, Wayne, I got you on that board. Thank you, Deb.
Right,
you're always
my
lifesaver.
This is Black Friday, a dark point about Black Friday.
All right.
I get it.
So here
I
we go.
Asking for comments for me, too.
All right. So here we go.
This is called A Black Friday Story. Don't like shopping or money spent. She begged me to go, so I went. Used to like her more than now. Want to get rid of her somehow. Before we got there, had to piss. All she wanted to do was give me a kiss. Haven't liked her for most of the year. Should be easy to make her disappear. She makes more money, drives a better car, brags on me a lot, calls me a star. She's all right, but I hate her nose. Really don't like it when a burger shows. Went to Sears, some guy ringing a bell, had red signs everywhere with the word sale. She walked over to where they sell shoes. There's nothing worse that gives me the blues. Then went upstairs to where they sell bras. You wouldn't believe the sweating it caused. Let's go. I can't take it no more. She just smiled, headed across floor. Survey said, can I help you please? Walked to the corner and choked her with ease. Strolled over to meet the lady cashier. One look at me, she was filled with fear. Reached over the counter, grabbed her by the hair. My girl didn't see me, her head was in the air. As I threw her down, I broke her neck. And I spit on her. Said, what do you expect? No one saw me. I don't know how. Walked back over to my dizzy gal. Acted real cool. Was doing my best. She turned around. Wanted to try on dress. She walked in a stall with tall, thin mirrors. I just happened to find a sharp pair of scissors. She slipped behind the curtain. She glanced and smiled. Not sure what happened. I went sort of wild. There was blood everywhere. Ruined a dress. Decided to take off my jacket and vest. Killed two more women by the time I got the stairs. No one was around, so I took some hairs. Took my time. Slowly walked the car. Started hearing sirens coming from afar. As I drove away, I hit a woman in a stroller. Made me remember when I was a good bowler. When I got home,
oh my God,
I sat in my chair, looking out the window. All I could do was stare. Don't have to buy gifts or answer the phone. This year I'm spending Christmas alone.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Note to self, never ask Wayne to go Christmas shopping on Black Friday. It's a little too stressful for him. Oh my God. Wayne, I gotta say, when you write dark so well, and you have the details and the imagery, and your stories are so well put together, and God forbid if you don't like a woman's nose. I'm just saying. I have a perfect little nose. And I just want you to spoil me, okay? This is dark and fabulous, and I will never have you come and watch me put on dresses. I will let you just stay in the house and enjoy your football. It's fine, my love. Just brilliant, brilliant storytelling, brilliant darkness. And I bowl every Wednesday night. We can just go bowling together. So you can just, you know, put out your anxiety and your hatefulness on a on a bunch of pins. Wow, this is just really great. Rapid tour, please, your thoughts, my dear.
She said, let's go shopping, so I went. I love that. I love that. It's so matter of fact. She's like, yes, so I went. and that's how it started. That was all it took. That's how it started. I liked her. I didn't like her most of the year. Damn her for wanting to buy shoes. That was the final straw. Oh, it's a good thing she didn't want a matching purse. I mean,
oh,
Lord.
The bras got me.
Yeah. Hey, you were sweating at that point. Yeah. I could see this. You know, very, very nefarious. Very, very well planned.
Thank you there, Rick.
And Hatter.
Yeah, this is like the confession of the Sears serial killer. Until you go in there, you want to imagine you're doing. Get out of my way. No, I had to laugh when it was I just happened to find a sharp pair of scissors sit behind the curtain, glass with a smile. Not sure what happened. Went for a while. There was blood everywhere. Ruined the dress. Like damn, ruined the damn dress. God. Save your jacket, man. That's pretty funny, man.
The dress and the girl were half off.
How sad. Oh, Christmas alone.
You know, so he had shopping.
Oh, and Deb, your thoughts on the bra serial killer?
Do you know the talent that it takes to have me sitting here scared of you but laughing? I'm like,
that's funny. I thought the same thing.
How can I be laughing so hard at something? And okay. On a side note, you know how most times serial killers and stuff like John Wayne Gacy, they have these three names going on. Well, I'm not going to say it on air, but if you look in his author's notes, there's a three-word name in that author's note. So this, I agree with Hatter. This reads like a rundown of a manic episode for a serial killer there. And I'm like, I won't ever shop with you, Wayne. I really think that you're a nice guy. But now I gotta wonder if it's all up front. And hey, look at the scowl on the face in the photo. Uh oh, run!
Run!
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh God, I really appreciated it.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
That was a lot of fun. Okay. Well, that was a lot of fun, Wayne. Thank you. All righty.
Thank all of y'all. Thank all of y'all. Appreciate it.
Oh, yes. That was a lot of fun.
You'll never look at Bowen the same, will you, sweet?
No, really? I won't.
Hey, Wayne, maybe we could double date, Wayne.
Yeah, we can do it.
No.
Be my wingman. Yeah, be the wingman. Yeah, hell of a wingman, huh?
Not what
I meant.
What did you mean?
No, I was using that as an excuse that being a bad wingman. I didn't mean take her out.
Oh. Okay. All right. I am going to go ahead and put up Steven.
176.
Trombones in the big parade.
76 trombones in the big parade.
Maybe. Even if I can get my computer to behave itself.
That's a big ass band. 102 clarinets.
The marching band.
Come on. The marching band.
Hey, trivia. Who was Marion the librarian in The Music Man? Robert Preston.
There you go, beautiful.
Thank you.
Shirley Partridge.
Works because my phone doesn't.
Am I muted? Is this thing on?
No.
It is.
You are...
I can't hear you at all.
It's on. You're doing good. I, however, am not doing good.
Egg. The partridge laid an egg.
Is that what that noise was?
Yes.
Does anybody remember The Music Man?
Yes.
Wait, did you need me to push play? Are you okay?
I am now just logging back into Blog Talk Radio because my computer kicked me out of that, kicked me out of Chemo Voices. But now I'm back in Chemo Voices, and now I'm back in Blog Talk Radio, so now I can push play. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Deb. All right. Here we go. You're Steven.
How I Long to Hold Lygia by Steven Simpson. I sit in this cold tomb with nothing but a flickering candle and the body of my second wife. Oh, woe is me to be destined to live alone, now burying two spouses in the course of so few epochs. The cobwebs cast such eerie shadows as they dance from what little heat the flame gives, mingling with its smoke in a death waltz. How is it that I, less than a year ago, buried her which carried my very Numa into the worm-filled dirt which covered her pureness? And now I sit with a moribund maiden, no longer rigid from rigor mortis, but soft to the finger's touch, yet a coldness to her skin, more like fabric than tissue. But what is this? My unbelieving eyes detect some rose color tinting her cheeks, fading in and out. Is this a trick of an overstressed mind? No, it's really happening. And as this is happening, a metamorphosis as well. Slowly, this one time, icy cadaver is transforming into Lygia. Yes, Lygia. My other half is coming back to me. I will no longer be an empty shell. I will once again know happiness. She torpidly bends at the waist and sits up, steadily rises to her feet, and I rise with her. Smiling, she walks towards me, her arms open for an embrace, which I shall not deny. As we come together, the candle is accidentally knocked over and extinguished. We hug in darkness. I hold her so tightly that I barely realize how pallid and cold she feels, and why should I? Lygia has come back to me. Then I detect a sound, something of a chewing sound. Odd, since it is only us two. I also notice I'm starting to feel weak and that my blouse is rapidly becoming moist with a fluid neither warm or cold. The chewing sounds rather close. My weakness becomes exhaustion, and I fall asleep in Lygia's strengthening arms.
Oh, yummy.
And a poem.
Oh,
my Lord.
Oh, that was brilliant.
That is brilliant.
Oh, my God. Hey, that was beautiful. And the sound effects, Stephen, were awesome. I got to tell you, that is probably one of the scariest, darkest poems ever. Because as soon as she starts munching on you, oh, my God, that is just, that's a chill down my body. I don't know about the rest of you, but that was just, chomp. Chomp. That was great. That was a great audio. That was a great read. Just all the right places. Your voice went up and down. And oh, wow. That was great. Oh, my Lygia. Oh, wow. That was great. Very, very good. Well played. The monologue, the everything. Hatter, your thoughts on this?
Okay, Kay's eating the celery, right? Kay's got to be helping him with this.
I don't know. Right? That was great.
She's chewing. It was disturbing. My God. Now I got to think. I totally have a new impression of Steven 76. Has anybody really seen this person named Kay, or is he sort of an imagination?
Bits and pieces of her.
Yeah. Yeah, this was brilliant.
It is.
Yeah.
It's got the Telltale Heart. It's got a little Dorothy Fuentes in it, in the little dumb. Oh, there was a, when I first knew, okay, this is over the top. It was when he touches her for the first time. I feel a little cold, but I guess that comes with the territory. Soft to the fingers touch. A little rigor mortis, that's all. Yeah, it's cold. But what did I expect?
Oh, wow. That was just brilliant. And Deb, your thoughts?
Oh, my God. I'm almost speechless here. This was like the darkest I've ever heard from him. I agree that his presentation was like off the charts. There was like this narration vibe meets dark humor, meets excitement, meets you almost thought he was going to break out into some kind of maniacal giggle because he was having so much fun. And then that chewing noise happened, and I got the chills, and I'm thinking, I'm with Hatter. I wonder where Kay's at. But he got me way back when he said my second wife. I'm like, oh, shoot. This is like, this is fabulous. I mean.
What does he do for a living?
He cooks. Uh-oh. You got to wonder what he serves some night, huh?
They've written horror movies about that.
Some bone broth soup.
How's Kay? Oh, she's fine. She was just tasty.
She was delicious.
You remember that box under the bed that they used to talk about years ago? You notice you never hear about that anymore.
Oh, yeah, the box under the bed.
Right now, got me thinking.
Yes.
Just a good thing we know he really loves Kay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's right.
The box,
under the bed.
And Rocky Tor, your thoughts?
Oh, this was tasty. I really enjoyed it a lot. The sound effects were excellent. The crunching was a beautiful touch, Stephen. This was just absolutely perfect.
Oh, it is. It's just perfect. Oh. And Wayne.
Yes.
Your thoughts.
Stephen got eight, yay. This is dark and thick. Great phrases and lovely wife. I bet he tasted good. What's for dessert? I love this poem. She shouldn't have said, eat me, bitch, before she died. Great job with this, Stephen. Loved it.
I think he was even darker than you. And that was
pretty hard to do.
That was hard to do. Oh,
Wayne's already messaging Stephen for the recipe.
For the next person to go shopping, huh?
She's parked for dinner.
Who are you people? Jesus.
I know.
We're the Wednesday night bowling.
Who are you? Oh, crazy. See, if I ask for dark again, look what I got. Oh.
Yeah. A little closer to Christmas, yeah.
Tell you what. Tell you why.
I'll tell you what.
Well, I can't read the one I brought then.
Yes, you can.
Can't follow that. Bull crap,
yes,
not about
can.
Those two. Those last two? Put out some lights, man.
I'm a lightweight, too. I thought, you know, not a problem. All right, Jeff, let's throw you up on that board.
Awesome sauce. Perfect timing.
All right.
Except I don't know about my poem now either. That's pretty bad. It's been such an amazing night already that, you know, who wants to go next? Not me. I'm grabbing it now.
Lily.
Okay, and where is voices? There it is. Okie dokie. You should see you in a second.
Okay.
What the?
Okay, and I'm looking to see. Okay, the prompt is the world's shortest horror story was originally published in 1948. It was written by Frederick Brown and consists of two sentences. It reads, "The last man on earth sat alone in a room. There was a knock on the door." So my poem is called "The Last Woman on the Planet." Here we go. From crashing noises, the silence breaks on the rooftops. Hail taps and dings, and breezes rock on the pontoon. As the sun dips in the lake, the planet shakes, toppling buildings. Three flashing neon bolts spear the moon. Stars lose the blink, falling in an earthquake. Birds tumble with fire-fried wings. No bullfrogs or crickets croon. Seawater hits land like rakes. Bridges dangle on metal strings, leaving cars smashed on the sand dune. Scream, then weep, and my body shakes, trapped neath debris. Wind flings, battering me with bits strewn. Dig out with two wood stakes, my skull throbs and eardrum rings, crawling to wash off blood in the lagoon. Cuts mark the skin and my body aches. Trees crack and branches swing, circling trunks like festoons. Ashes fall like snowflakes. Now on my flesh, gray soot clings. As they died, two mourning doves croon. Earth people fry and every animal bakes, leaving me in a pile of burnt things from Mother Earth's lampoon. A coal-eye shadow quakes, wrapping me inside ebony slings, trapping me to die in a flaming cocoon.
Oh, wow. That sounds horrific. But, my God, the imagery and the intensity. Oh, man. Ashes fall like snowflakes. Now in my flesh, grace clings. As they die, two mourning doves croon. A coal-eyed shadow quakes, wrapping me inside ebony slings, trapping me to die in a flaming cocoon. It's like everything around you is just dying and falling and burning, and there's nowhere for you to run, and three flashing neon bolts spear the moon. It's literally like being inside a nuclear explosion, and you're just watching yourself and the world crumble in around you. And with what's going on today right now, this makes this like so frightening to me, just so frightening, because at any moment in time there's this potential reality that we could all just watch ourselves melt and the world around us melt. I think this is beyond frightening and scary and dark and it makes me fearful for what we might see if crazy actually comes alive and gets a chance to do what it wants to do. I think this is brilliant and very frightening. Very frightening.
Hell of a comment, sweet. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And it just reminded me of something. On Saturday night, I brought a dark one for the coconuts topic. And in AP's comment to me on that poem, he called it sweet-like. What a compliment. Anyway, thank
wow.
you.
Wow. That is a compliment. Yeah, this is just crazy. Wow. Raconteur, your thoughts.
I'm melting.
I like that. Yeah. You know, the imagery was fantastic, and you know, the idea behind it is a solid one. It really grabs you. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a hot piece.
Thank you so much, Raconteur. Great comment.
And Wayne.
Yes, what a destructive day. If only one was left, it couldn't be that bad. Fried people and baked animals, not a bad meal. You destroyed everything, including the doves. I guess one woman left left alive would be a nightmare. Great job. This is dark, and I liked it. Good job there, Deb.
Thank you so much, Wayne. Appreciate that very much.
Hatter.
Yeah, I love where Deb's at now in her writing. The words chosen to create lines and images in one's head is an art form. And she does it really well with, when she says, trap these debris, wind flings, battered me with bits strewn. Words battering and strewn. It's not thesaurized, if you know what I mean.
No, I do. Thank you. And the other thing, Hatter, I was experimenting, excuse me, aside from trying to make that jagged look on it, if you look, every first line ends with aches, 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 and second ings, 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 and third is oon, oon, oon. So it made it even harder because I wanted to try and follow the same rhyme line everywhere, all the way down.
Democratized, bro.
Wake. So, anyway, but thank you so much.
Very, very good. Democratized.
All right. Deb, I know you got to go, and I got to say hello to Blue. Hello. How are you, Hal? Welcome to the show.
Love and respect,
thank you.
Everyone.
Bye,
Deb.
I know you are on a break, so I'm going to throw your poem right up, and that way you can read for me. Very excited to see what you have to put on here. Maybe I'll put your poem up.
This poem was actually inspired by one of Joe's contests. So
really?
That's where
awesome.
This comes from. If you look down in the bottom and you follow the contest link, it's actually her poem was we were supposed to like write something however her poem affected. This is like what I wrote in return for her poem. So
good.
So let's go ahead and pull it up here. But,
my computer is being a pain in the butt. For some strange reason, I am not able to copy poems tonight.
Melted.
The name of the poem is called Dark, Beautiful Disaster. And it begins this way. Amongst the peaks, what is built and what is grown, the machinery of identity locked in the hissing vapors, boiler ashes, unremovable stain, bare bones, non-clinic days, breathed, my throat cracked in pieces. The thud of aspiration against galactic counterparts, bound corsets by a ticket of hope. Swirled stillness stomps underwater, shadows, sequential vowel imprint, latched, earth's knee, first withered bloom, thorns listening for the mark. My serenet only knows a mirror is silver. I have seen one scuffed. Earth's mat between tender and incessant beast. Flower, flawed prairie eyes, contorted glass. Windshield ankles turn clockwise in the soil. Buckling legs, loosening root and worm, shaking free from tangled uncertainty. Cadence claps under bushes, jute rope. Ignition's lacerations cutting weight. Peat moss rings out that photonegative self. Flash floods fuse to answer. Follicles penciled against concrete cheeks. Everything in reach moves further back. Vines turn your head in delirium. Tomorrow, foam mantas crossways. Billowing clothes will sit beside her at the back of the waiting room. Streets, clamor bells, the clink of metals, the whistle waves, wheels of groaning iron. Passengers siren, sound smoke from the piers, churches and towers of stone. Erratic core cankers, commotion and fury. Truck stud on the adamant road. Short syllables have folded her sufferings into the veil. Pendulums allotted space in term. Blues come dressed like introspective echoes of a journey. Quietly pursuing traffic keepers, rusted rows on shafts of yesterday's pains. On shafts of yesterday's pains. There's no more disguise. Rooms of the moon on cold autumn nights. Chrysanthemums, aura of familiarity. Let's go inside. Dawn comes, relics, deathless, dreaming. Light particles scurry, molding visions through a braille sculpted realm. Now it's time to cry. Threading every illusion so she can still walk over the glass. And hang on. Bubbling geysers of the morning air like a swallow. I must wait, dream, wonder, and sing. End poem.
Wow, Blue. I love the journey you take us on. You know, it's painful, and you use such amazing phrases throughout. But I have to tell you, it all came home to me. It all just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, ton of bricks in this one beautiful set of words. Blues come dressed like introspective echoes of a journey, quietly pursuing traffic keepers' rusted rows. On shafts of yesterday's pain, there's no more disguise. I just really felt that. I love blues come dressed, and I love there's no more disguise. But those words just, you know, introspective echoes of a journey. How often do we not see them until after we've gone through it? And on shafts of yesterday's pain, I just really thought this was, you know, brilliant in your terms. And you always have this way of writing these really deep metaphors that you have to weave yourself through. And then, you know, some of them will hit you so hard and they just kind of slap you in the face. And you're like, oh, wow, that's just really great. And I really got that bob and weave through that one. And you know, some of them go way over my head, I got to tell you. And then I'll find that one, and I'll get the whole idea of that poem, and I'll be like, wow, that's what he's saying, and that's brilliant. And this one, that when you got to that one, I was like, wow, that's just really, really deep and really strong, and I really understand that journey of pain. That was really, really brilliant, sir.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is this carried through almost like a journey. This could be like a trilogy. I think it might serve the poet and the poem well to do it a 1, 2, 3 or two at the as a journey. Emphasize some of the metaphor lines because they're brilliantly thought up. But I got a little lost sometimes because I didn't have time to think of where you're coming from, where you're going. But I think you could have 2, 3 poems on this one, right? Because it does evolve. That's the way I see it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Rack and Tour.
I thought it was very touching. I like the part when somewhere, it was about in the middle, I think, when you were talking about sitting with her and the sirens. That's when you really grabbed me. I mean, it was lovely, you know, up until that point, too. But then when you hit that point, that was when you really hooked me. Because that to me is the most relatable. When you want to, you know, embrace somebody that's going through something dark like that, and you want to help them, or at least, you know, take the journey with them so that they're not alone. That's so relatable, and you know, you describe it so beautifully. You know, because you know you went through it with them, so you're able to put down on the page, like everyone's saying, in the metaphors that you relate to. As far as the situation is building, and I thought that's what was very beautiful about this.
Thank you.
Excellent comment.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say hi to Crystal and ask Crystal if you happen to hear that.
I did not. I'm so sorry, Blue.
That's okay.
That's all right. That's fine. Not a problem.
All right, Blue. I don't know if you can stick around or if you got to run, but thank you for bringing that. I thought it was just absolute metaphorical genius on your part. And I really appreciate you bringing it to the show.
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful. Excellent. Hi, Crystal. How you been?
Okay.
Thanks, Blue.
I guess I'll say all right.
That's good. It's good to be all right. Glad to hear it. I've been all right, too. Oh, yes. Are you a read and run? You got to get on there and get out of here?
Nope. I'm good for the rest of the show.
Awesome. Good to know. Let's see. Where am I at? Trying to figure out where I'm at. That's good to know. Dom, dom. Voices. I know. You know how I am. I never know what I'm doing half the time. Huh?
He said, you've got mail.
You have mail.
I know. That's what my. I do. I have mail. All right. I am going to put down.
Hey, sweet. I'll be listening, but I won't be able to talk for a little bit. Okay. I'll be on.
Well,
mute.
Where's your poem?
Okay. I'll post it.
It's not on my board. Yeah. You want to read first?
I was going to, and then Wayne and Stephen read theirs. I was like, no way. I'm putting that after that.
Well, yes, you are. So put your poem down, do your non-talking, and then you can talk. Or you want to read and then not talk.
Hold on. Yeah, carry on. I'll have to make – I got to go take care of something real quick, okay?
All right.
No.
I'll be right back.
And then come back and read for me, okay?
I will.
Put your little foot down and tell me, sweet pea.
I am. I'm going to put my little foot down. As little as it is, it's all 5 1/2.
Tic-tac right. Toes.
Bye, Wayne. Get back to your dumplings. All right. So this
Did you
is,
say tic-tac toes? Tic-tac toes?
Tic-tac toes. Yeah.
That's what I said.
All right. This is Lockdown and Lars, Daddy's Little Girl by Lockdown Lars. Daddy, your little girl is insane and she wants to die. Daddy, your little girl is insane and sorry, but she wants to die. You said we all lie, pain when joining God in the sky. And so I sit waiting for you with this loaded gun. Together we will soon view the Almighty and His Son. It's silly, I know, writing this, something you'll never read. But when there, I will give you a kiss. And with God, we'll be free. Ding dong. Hello, darling. How are you today? Well. Dark. Well, well, well. I gotta say that's pretty dark. I don't really even know what to say about that, Lockdown Lars. Huh. Wow.
It's not often I get a poem that caliber.
I mean, so I sit waiting for you with this loaded gun. Together we will soon view the Almighty and His Son. Huh. Ding dong, hello, darling, how are you today? I try to figure out if that's me. She hasn't, or she has, or she would, or they've met in heaven, or they haven't met in heaven. There's so many questions I have now. Wow, this is kind of twisted. Oh. Yeah, that lifeline is kind of got you wondering. So, is she in the asylum? Has she been put away? Very, very twisted poem you brought me, Lars. I really kind of like that. I like twisted poems. Well, Crystal, what did you think?
I had to get myself off mute. Yeah, I'm kind of with you, but then when you were kind of like your comment was, wow, this is dark. And then I just wanted to sit there and be like, well, you asked for dark poetry. What else do you expect? But,
I like sarcasm, yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I kind of got that feeling too. I would love to like hear him read it, like when the SoundCloud was like kind of creepy music, or like you hear maybe like a gun or something in the background, or I mean, I feel like that would make it even creepier. I'm not giving him any ideas, I swear. I really think though it did kind of like give off those like very much like kind of dark, creepy vibes, and I'm kind of questioning everything kind of at the end too, which I guess is a good thing. So, great job.
I agree with you. I'd love to have him read it with the creepy music and the, you know, really cool sound effects. That would be great. Yeah. And Raconteur.
Yeah, it's not often you get a poem of that caliber. I really enjoyed it, Lars. It's a unfortunate joke that comes to mind, but other than that, I really appreciated the idea of, you know, the whole meet you in heaven thing. I'm going to take you down with me. Very dark, very foreboding. Well told.
Yeah. Really like it. And Crystal, I would highly recommend that you listen to Stephen's poem. I'm just telling you straight up.
Oh, dear, I don't know what that means.
I am. It is one of the best audios I've ever listened to.
It means listen
to. I'm just saying, it's. I'll tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and do it again. I really am. I am.
I had a feeling
just,
she was
going to do that. I'm going to do it again. We're going to put Steven's phone back on the board.
Command performance.
Because it is. I'm telling you, it's the best. It's my show.
Yeah.
I can do it again. I love it so much that I want you to hear it.
Yes.
I want you to comment on it because that's how much I loved it.
Up the volume a little bit on it, sweet.
Okay, I will. I just think it's that good, and he deserves a command performance. Okay.
Encore.
So, if you're ready.
I'm ready.
I gotta log
I'm listening.
I know, but it kicked me out of Blog Talk Radio again. I have to go back into the studio. All right. Let me back in. All right, so here we go.
How I Long to Hold Lygia by Stephen 76. I sit in this cold tomb with nothing but a flickering candle and the body of my second wife. Oh, woe is me to be destined to live alone, now burying two spouses in the course of so few epochs. The cobwebs cast such eerie shadows as they dance from what little heat the flame gives, mingling with its smoke in a death waltz. How is it that I, less than a year ago, buried her which carried my very Numa into the worm-filled dirt which covered her pureness? And now I sit with a moribund maiden, no longer rigid from rigor mortis, but soft to the finger's touch, yet a coldness to her skin, more like fabric than tissue. But what is this? My unbelieving eyes detect some rose color tinting her cheeks, fading in and out. Is this a trick of an overstressed mind? No, it's really happening. And as this is happening, a metamorphosis as well. Slowly, this one time icy cadaver is transforming into Lygia. Yes, Lygia, my other half is coming back to me. I will no longer be an empty shell. I will once again know happiness. She torpidly bends at the waist and sits up, steadily rises to her feet, and I rise with her. Smiling, she walks towards me, her arms open for an embrace, which I shall not deny. As we come together, the candle is accidentally knocked over and extinguished. We hug in darkness. I hold her so tightly that I barely realize how pallid and cold she feels, and why should I? Lygia has come back to me. Then I detect a sound, something of a chewing sound. Odd, since it is only us two. I also notice I'm starting to feel weak and that my blouse is rapidly becoming moist with a fluid neither warm or cold. The chewing sounds rather close. My weakness becomes exhaustion. And I fall asleep in Lygia's strengthening arms. End poem.
Nope. No? I just said that I knew it was going to get some. I mean, it was already like the first part, I was just like hearing it, and it was already kind of like getting dark. And then I knew it was going to get worse. And it's just like, no, Stephen, no.
Is that not the most, I have got to say, this like one of my top audios ever. I think he just outdid himself. It's like my favorite, like probably the best of the year for me. And I'm like, brilliant. I'm sorry. I just, you had to hear it.
It makes you want to call him up and chew the fat.
I do. Isn't it just great? So tell me what you really thought.
He's got a biting sense of humor.
Other than nope.
Well, like I said, that's kind of just where I went with that, though. But I will say, like, it is, it, like, makes me think of something Stephen probably would have written maybe a couple of years ago. Because I remember he did go through, like, he has written dark poetry, but it makes me think of something that he's written, like, a few years ago. Yeah, it definitely does give like that. But he definitely had my attention, I'll say that much, because you're just kind of wondering what's going to happen next, even though you already pretty much kind of figuring something is going to happen and it's not going to be good. but yeah, I really actually was intrigued by the story, which, like, normally this isn't, like, something I would typically want to read, but I was intrigued, so I liked it.
I liked it. Yeah, I like it a lot. So, Amadeus liked it too, obviously. Why don't we go ahead and put you up, Crystal?
Okay.
All right.
Maybe.
Why don't you go ahead and put yourself in there, Crystal, because I have been having a hell of a time with my computer. It'll take me 20 minutes to get you up there.
Up, but okay.
I normally don't have people put their own stuff up either, but I am having the worst time with my computer tonight.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I don't know. I've had it on Blog Talk and All Poetry acting up before. I keep hearing everybody talking about All Poetry messing up recently.
It's been
cause I think,
bad tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, because I saw, like, Joe was talking about having issues with it. I had, the other day, it deleted one of my poems, and I was, like, I was mad, because it took me about, like, 40 minutes to an hour to write it, and then I hit submit, and then it was, like, this poem has been deleted. And I was, like, excuse me.
Oh, no.
I mean, but I was just like, and after that, I was kind of in a bad mood for a while, and I was like, I gotta get out of the bad mood. I gotta just deal with it. It's gone. I was like, maybe I just needed to write it out. I don't know.
I've heard about the problems with autocorrect, but that's pretty severe.
Yeah.
Oh, I never trust autocorrect ever. Like, I've used it several times, and every time it's like what it normally does. Like, I think when I used to use it, every time that I think I would say miss, it would think I was saying kiss. So I could sit there and being like, I would try to be saying like, I miss doing something or so, and it would say kiss, and I'm like, no, I'm not sending kiss to someone. So I know what that feels like. I'm sitting there completely ignoring my poem. Okay, I got it now. All right. This is called Drowning in Deep Blue.
Hold on a second, please. I let my dog out.
You let the dogs in.
That's what I was just trying to do.
No.
You let the dogs out.
Yeah. All right. Now let's hear your poem without my dog in the middle of it. That would be nice.
Okay. Maybe you could just give some background noise. No, I'm kidding. Drowning in deep blue, swimming over gray waves, crumbling over the debris I struggled to save. But I struggled for no cause. I'm drowning in the hollow. Salt water lies are bitter, a bitter pill to swallow. Carrying dead weight over my back, crushing over molten rocks. I'm unraveling like white roses twisted with arrows of a broken clock. Silas filters in the bottles. My bloody hands lift and pollute in the waters of cobalt. Sinking ships burden me down as I drown in my cryptic vault. End poem.
Wow. First off, I love the picture, but it freaks me out. just saying, because drowning is like one of the scariest things ever. I've almost done it once, and that was wicked. But that hand-looking thing is just, ugh. But I struggle for no cause. I'm drowning in the hollow. Saltwater lies are bitter pill to swallow. Carrying dead weight over my back, crashing over molten rocks, I'm unraveling like white roses, twisted into arrows of a broken clock. Silence. It just, you describe this almost like to a T of what it's like to drown. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but when I did almost drown, I kept falling and falling, and I was pushing myself up on this rock, and I couldn't quite reach the surface, and it was just like, it was like these rainbows, but I kept hitting this rock, and I kept trying to push myself up, and this just kind of brought back a whole lot of that memory, and it scared the living Jesus out of me. This is really weird. And all I could see were these, like, really, like, strings of blue. And I don't know how you did that, Crystal. I'm sure you didn't do it. Like, but it really brings back that moment in my life. And I'm sure your poem means something completely different. But for me, I see that moment. And I just see that vision of jumping and, like, seeing that water and coming up over that wave and that struggle and the debris and the blue and all of that. And it's crazy. So this is very frightening and very kind of cool. Wow. Rag and Tour, thoughts?
Yeah, I got a sense of being overwhelmed and drowning in life in general. Very relatable.
Yeah.
Wow, it's crazy.
That's mainly what it is more about, but there can be, like, what you were saying, Sweet, about your comment about, like, an actual memory of drowning. I think Wayne left me a comment of the same thing. It was weird that that popped up for people, that them having, like, flashback memories of drowning or coming close.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've all pretty much had our moments. I think one of my more scarier ones was I went canoeing and I had the canoe flip over when I was under rapids. And I was under a canoe trying to
look at it.
That one was pretty bad. Most people... Like, the person I was in the canoe with, she was more concerned about grabbing the oars than she was me. My sister ended up seeing me, and she was like, who's under the canoe? And they were like, Crystal. And they were like, that's my sister. So she jumps out of her canoe to go save me. But, like, I remember that it scared me because I was, like, I was around all these rocks, and, like, the water was just, like, crashing against me, and I had a canoe over my head, and I was like, is this the end? I was, like, scared out of my mind.
Yeah. Wow. It's so vivid. Yeah, that's wild. This is the scariest poem I've read tonight.
Oh. Wow. Wait, it's scarier than Stevens. I don't know about that.
Yeah, because it's so real. I mean, it's so real. You know? That's crazy. It is. It's just that real. But, yeah, Rack and Tour, did you find anything you wanted?
I can give you a flip a coin. I've got one that's dark like Crystal, and I've got one that's horror like, I guess, Debs.
All righty then.
Take your, which do you prefer? I'm sure you heard both of them.
Well, I don't know. we'll have to see. Either one, Crystal's got to read it, so.
Well, you don't want to put the audio in? I think they both have audio, I think, but.
God, you want me to do that?
It should only take half a second, but I'm sorry.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Hey.
Crystal can read it.
All right. Well, hey, I put up the one that goes with Crystal's, so if you want to open that one. Just because.
In the dog?
No, in the room. So mine is a good day to drown.
Oh, well, I was saying I had the one that I have is called In the Dark.
Okay. We'll get that one up too. In the Dark, I'll find that one too. But I just, this is a one I did to match Crystal's. So this is A Good Day to Drown. And this is Push Up on the Stepping Stone, Green Blue Color Swirl, Float Down, Float Down. Push up to the surface, can't touch the sky, Float Down, Float Down. Stepping Stone, I'll stop here, no more colors can I see, floating, floating am I, bright light of sun awakens me on the dock. I lied, Big Brother rescued me. Today I did not die. See, it's just so weird. But anyway, back to you, Rack.
That's definitely has that sense of almost drowning to it. I could, you know, you were describing reaching for the rock. I could feel that in what you wrote.
Yeah,
and
so it's just
the
whole
weirdness
of it.
Trying to get to the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even the bright light of sun, talking about that awakens you in the end, you're kind of like that when that moment, you kind of sit down like after you've had an experience like that and you're kind of like, wow, I'm alive, and you kind of just look up and you see the sky and you see the sun and everything, and it's like, oh, like, wow. Like, you kind of take those things, suddenly you look at them in a different way. That's kind of what I got towards the end. But, yeah, I definitely can feel that, like pressure or whatever. Like, you're feeling like you're drowning. It's a good poem.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. I was just showing you why it reminded me so much of yours. It was just so weird. Like I said, it's...
I'm back.
All right.
I'm back.
You're back.
I'm back.
You're back.
Man. Yeah. I think everybody has that moment. I did when I was a kid, too.
Yeah, Crystal's was like... really... crazy.
Flooding you with memories.
Really, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's. All right. Where are you, Raconteur? You know, I can never find you.
Best game of hide and seek.
Try the jug handle.
All right, what is the name of?
In the Dark.
In the Dark, thank you.
In the dark. Sound effects.
Actually, I think I wrote this shortly after AP and Hatter had a thing about what if you couldn't see. What if the world were blind? I think that was when I wrote this one.
All right. Well, I might be able to get it into the studio. So what I'm going to do is have Hatter read his.
Oh, yeah. I got to go get it.
Yeah, you got to go get it for me.
Hopefully it's still in my browser. Yeah, it is.
Ta-da!
Boom, that was quick.
Woohoo!
This is a true story. The eyes that watched me sleep. And that was a GIF, a GIF, that I would usually blink.
Yeah.
But it's frozen now. It was like this. The eyes that watched me sleep, scratching at the glass so I might look up at him. Winds barked with a demonic voice, whispered moans from above my bed, tapping friends, wanting me to look. Whistling to keep me up, sleepless as he knows it. I press myself harder into my mattress. Laying flat, he won't think that anyone is here, motionless, filled with childhood fears. He can see over my headboard from where he stands. If I see his eyes, he'll look through mine. Ticking nails on hardwood floors, he just entered the front door. No lock to keep him out. I jump from the ledge and hide myself behind the chest of drawers. He won't find me here. Excuse me, somebody's banging on my front door. Could you read it, Greta Sweet?
Yes. All right. I'm going to start from the top. The Eyes That Watch Me Sleep by Jay Haber. The eyes that watch me sleep, scratching at the glass so I might look up at him. Winds barked with a demonic voice, whispered moans from above my bed. Tapping frames wanting me to look, whistling, keep me up, sleepless, and he knows it. I press myself harder into the mattress. Lying flat, he won't think there's anyone here, motionless and filled with childhood fear. He can see over my headboard from where he stands. He sees his eyes look through mine. Ticking nails on hardwood floors, he just entered the front door. No lock to keep him out. I jump from the ledge and hide myself behind the chest drawers. He won't find me here. He thinks I'm in my bed. My brothers are doomed. Why did they not hear him? Silence speaks of how close he is. He's at the door, slowly pushing it in. In my hands a whistle bat, a lawn dart to save my world. I quietly roll marbles and toss jacks across the floor. I'll throw a blanket to blind him first, whistle his ears and thrust my sword into his leg and run. Once he turns on the light, I'll twist the sun as fast as I can, caught by a shadow of an unknown man. What are you doing up, son? Call back in bed. I tell him he's outside. I told him what he said. Put down the dart, son. Give me the bat. I'm back in bed. But, Dad, didn't you hear that? Turn me around, the sun goes black into the nightmare. He knew I'd be back. I'm home. Ugh. That gives me the chills. I know. You know what I
Thanks
said? The ultimate in childhood fear, and they still follow us into the darkest adults. We feel their eyes upon our backs, and no one is behind us. Wicked Hatter, wicked. Just wicked. Crystal, what do you think?
Just mute. I couldn't get myself off mute. Just let Hatter know that I'm probably not going to sleep tonight from this. Because immediately, as soon as he said, oh, that gift used to blink, I was like, I'm glad it doesn't. I didn't, because I already creeped me out when I looked at it. But, yeah, then just him starting at the eyes that watched me sleep, scratching at the glass. We already just done started. It doesn't even start with I went to bed that night, everything's normal, brushing my teeth. Nope, we just went to I was trying to sleep, and all of a sudden eyes were staring at me. And I'm just already like, no. It's another one of those poems of just like, no, no, no. But but I will say it definitely, like I said, another story that kind of kept me intrigued. And then and I always love when people put dialogue in there too. And that towards the end when he was like, you didn't see that? You didn't. And I'm like, yeah. It makes me think of some kind of like horror film that you might see or something like that. And like where they make poor choices where they think they don't see something when they do. But yeah, I think this is a great piece from Hatter.
Thank you, Crystal.
I didn't know you were there.
Is that you?
Yes, it is. Sweet, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Thank you for coming. Did you bring something wonderful and dark?
I bought something, but it's not as dark as Hatter. Because Hatter does a thing with eyes. I don't know if you've noticed. Every one of his pictures, it's got eyes in there, and you look at the eyes, and you go, something's sort of not quite right about those eyes. They're following me. And so when Hatter talks about eyes, he does it with, you know, the knowledge that that images of eyes are really quite scary, and he knows that. And then he just played on it. It was really cool.
It was very cool. Rack, what did you think of the eyes?
I'm glad he had the wiffle ball back. He was thinking ahead with the jack. He was going to chuck the jack and throw the blanket, and then I think it would have been funnier if he actually whacked Dad in the head, but he wasn't going for funny. He was going for a different mood, and he stayed true to form and did a great job with it.
Absolutely. So, AP, what'd you bring?
Yeah.
Throw it on the board for me.
Well, let's see. I've thrown it on the board. If you want to refresh, you'll see it there. So, as I said, it's not as scary as Hatter's because Hatter genuinely got scary. I sort of do sort of a little bit sort of a little scary. Anyway, so it's sort of shades of grey, not shades of black. This is Flames, sweet. And
okay.
It goes a little bit like this. You took away the key and I threw it down the drain. I'll show you to go and flee while some form of care you feign. You see, these records over years, I've set them into a pyre, thrown to petrol so really sears, history in the red wrap of fire. Flames of anger do consume, I don't care what legals they say. Your words play to tune and sorry, I don't want to play. Forget the lyrics and violins, because to me they won't fly. Your evolution and spins, a record player scratches nigh. Excuses and bullshit left wheeled. Let the flames burn history away. For in those ashes they will yield more truth than any of your days. End poem.
Well, there you go. I like Stevie's records over years. I've set them in a prior. Throw into petrol. So really hears history in the red wrap of fire. Forget the lyrics and violins, because to me they won't fly. Your evolutions and spins, a record player scratches an eye. What history are you trying to cover up? What darkness is there that you want to go down the drain? Excuses and bullshit left wheeled. The ashes will tell the truth. What darkness do you have that must go away, AP? Or is it just the entire darkness of our own history? Because history in itself is scary enough. And if we try to erase it, it just comes back. You have me in a... I'm befuddled by this. Is it your history that's so dark? That must go away, or is it our history that's so dark that it must go away? I'm pondering. Crystal, what do you think?
Yeah, you kind of took the lines that I liked. I do like that. Forget the lyrics and violins, because to me they won't fly. The revolution and spins, the record player scratches nigh. It does kind of like give off a little bit of a darkness right there. And I do like what you're saying about the records over the year, because you do hear that often, many times, of like often history is going to repeat itself over and over again. So if you have something that's haunting you from the back, then it's going to keep haunting you. I don't know, kind of my thought, I guess. But yeah, I think that this is excellent, and it kind of really just kind of hits you kind of in the heart and in the mind. Great job, AP.
But we're still going to keep commenting on it. Raconteur, your thoughts?
Keep on pondering, yeah. I like throwing the key down the drain. Immediately my brain's going, okay, you could always take it out of the trap, and then you're setting fires. So I'm like, okay, there goes that idea. But, you know, the more important message of the whole story of it was great, the way you told it. And, you know, everyone, you know, I'm with everybody else. I really liked the line about the record player. That was beautiful. The whole thing was a good thought, though, about it spoke of, you know, the winner is the one that writes the history. So I enjoyed it.
And Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, like a broken record, yeah.
I'll be okay.
Because that's
I'll
right.
Be okay.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Well, through the years, the times, you know, history of the red wrap of fire, flames of anger to consume. I don't know if it's a lesson. Flames. Like, you hate to see people you know crash and burn and go down in flames. That's what I see it. No.
Absolutely. All right. Rack and Tour. I have your poem.
Yes.
I have your SoundCloud.
Ooh.
All right. So,
easy.
Have your SoundCloud.
Sounds like an Indian chief.
Yeah.
SoundCloud.
I know. Have your SoundCloud. Now I have to go find your damn poem. Damn it.
I do the disclaimer.
SoundCloud.
You're not responsible for anybody that says anything on this show.
All right. Spell your name again, Ray. R-A-C what?
O-N-T-E-U-R.
There we go. Rack and Tour. Rack and Tour. And it is the... What is the name of the damn poem again? I know I should know.
In the Dark.
In the Dark. In the Dark. I will get this going. Yay! We're almost there. Almost there, people. I almost have this together. I'm so excited.
Oh,
my God. All right. Check it out. Thank you, Deb, for getting this in there for me. All right. We've got it. It's on the board. And here we go.
In the Dark by Raconteur. Tomorrow seems like yesterday. Absolutely no different than today. Engendering a sense of futility that saps my will every time I open my eyes. Fragmented fractals form faint figurines. Vaseline visions, vaguely verifiable. Smudged silhouette-shaped streaks in a world of specters. Everything is shrouded in shadows, indiscernible from memories. Distance between objects become insignificant. Everything will always seem just out of reach. Uncertain if anything is able to pierce the veil of umber. Pride is now a foreign concept. Independence, a wisp of smoke. Tomorrow remains as certain as my footing in an unseen reality. It's no wonder my eyes struggle. The eyes of a ghost. Someone broken beneath notice. No different than the friend who would be so attractive if they'd just lose a few pounds. I used to think my perception was skewed, but nothing could be clearer. My eyes reflect the world as it truly is. The path I'm on, I travel in solitude. The echoes of my footsteps fading into silence. End poem.
Wow. There's such a sadness in this objective. Distance between objectives become insignificant. Everything will always seem just out of reach. I don't think so. I think that you have this ability to reach more than what you see. Haha, excuse the pun of my punting. Independence is just a wisp of smoke. Tomorrow remains certain as my footing is an unseen reality. I think your tomorrows are whatever you make them, and I think that you are an incredibly courageous man who does more than most men do with two eyes, two feet, two legs, whatever it may be. Your perception is definitely skewed to probably better than most of the people I know. You have this sense of self that most people I know don't have. You're solid in your footing. You're solid in who you are. But I just don't see you becoming insignificant. So I find sadness in this, a sense of something you're not. You're far from being in the dark raconteur. So I guess I feel the opposite of what this is. The way you look at yourself, I look at you completely different. So,
thank you.
But that's just my opinion. Hatter, your thoughts?
Yeah, the same thing. I don't know whether to feel sad or proud or helpless, weak. I don't know. It's a draining poem. It draws the emotion out to you to it. That's it. That's pretty good to be able to do that. I found that. But after the pride is now a foreign concept, it's like, man, that one just started chopping me down after that. Good job. Yeah, and how you ended it, too. I traveled in solitude and the echoes of my footsteps. Strong words. Strong words, man.
Thanks, Heather.
And Crystal, your thoughts?
Yeah, I can definitely see this as, like, looking at it from, like, maybe a physical and an emotional standpoint, especially towards, like, the emotional in the beginning. Tomorrow looks like yesterday, absolutely no different than today. And often if you do kind of have that mindset of what's the point of getting up, what's the point of doing this, it always kind of do try and have that thought of, oh, there's always tomorrow. But then when tomorrow comes, it looks like yesterday, and you can fall in that same mindset. So I like how you started that, because I know a lot of people sometimes can actually think that way. And then the other part I really like is pride is now a foreign concept, independent, a wisp of smoke. And it does kind of, like, feel that way, because kind of like where you're going, it seems like you're never going to get there, because you just keep walking through, like, dark shadows, and it seems like you're, like, everything's just kind of gone. But, yeah, I like how you went with that. And like I said, looking at it from different perspectives and thinking that way, I really like that you did that. And I want to congratulate you. You literally have nine. You're on like this poem is on like nine lists, because I just added it to mine. I saw like eight other people, and I was like, dang. I was like, popular poem, okay. But great job.
Thanks, Crystal.
Excellent. All right. I have two more poems to go. This one is from Soul. So if everybody is ready, click on her poem, and I have another audio. Here we go.
Carmine Fangs of Love, a poem by Laughing Soul. I keep knocking on rusted windows, trying to unlock with my severed teeth. Benumbed by icy wind that blows, all I get is taste of bleeding memories. Mulching the quicksand of your diabolic stings with vignettes that my full-on heart sings. I, a bent bow of bones wrapped in a leather casket, awaits the flutter of love notes monsoon brings. Oh, come to me, oh, come, my caped lover, jade-eyed and lips absinthe color. Come, quench my carmine pangs with your sultry fangs. Arouse my corpse with your bite carnal. Breathe in me darkness ambrosial. Desires my love-lorn heart, rainbow on midnight dew. I wouldn't know the color of love if it weren't for you. Shall cherish every drop my bloodlusty power, whilst in flame our naked silhouettes in twilight's purple shower. End poem.
Well. That is making vampires hot, hot, hot. I got to tell you. She actually wrote this for a contest of mine. It definitely made the vampires come out very nice. But, yeah, this is really dark in an exotic, twisted way. I really loved the poem when she wrote it, and I love it now. She definitely makes bloodlusty. Really, really great poem. Laughing Soul, I'm really glad you brought it out tonight again. I really enjoyed it the first time, and I liked hearing it again. But, yeah, my comment to her was, I felt like a sinner as I read your poem, as if I stood in a dark corner watching a love story unfold, a stranger invading an intimate moment, knowing I should turn my eyes away, but I could do nothing but stare at its beauty. Thought it was really very sensual and very, very dark. Crystal, your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I even just gave her a comment because I loved the way that her voice sounded in this. Like I could have just read it and I still would have been like, oh, wow. But the way that she was reading it, like it gave such much more of like an eerie kind of tone. And I've seen her that she does that too with like her poems. She'll usually like whatever like feeling she's trying to give it, she'll do really well with her voice. And I feel like she did that here, and like there's such imagery in there, like the soured teeth and the sultry fangs and things like that. Like the wording that she puts in there is like really good, and I love how she ends it with the silhouettes and Twilight's purple shower, and she just kind of gives you chills towards that end. So I think she did a great job.
And Rackentor, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the part, jade eyes and lips absent of color. But, I mean, the whole thing overall, you know, kind of makes me want to bite her. It was cool, you know, the voice, like you say, you know, she has a hypnotic tone when she reads something like that. She definitely carries the story along. I think it adds a lot of depth to it. But when she reads, she does great audios. And the music in the background was a nice touch. It was subtle, and it wasn't very distracting, but it did, you know, kind of, you know, even help float the story along a little bit, too, at the same time, I thought. It was a nice touch, good choice, and a beautiful piece.
Awesome. All right, so before I end the show, I do believe that Hatter is doing Thanksgiving Day. Going to be running around doing all of that fun. I don't know what's going on tomorrow night. I don't think we have anything going on tomorrow. Thanksgiving is Hatter and Rocky
yeah,
Four.
I just looked at the calendar. There's nothing.
Okay. And then Friday night is the Man Cave with Hatter and Steven. Saturday is the AP and Hatter and Deb, but I'm not sure what the word is. Don't know. Sunday night is the Invite with me and Pretty Bird. Invite only show.
Pretty Bird.
For a little naughty time. Yeah, for a little bit of naughty. And Monday we are back with Personal Prom. So that's pretty much the world that's going on. Pretty Bird, yeah, Pretty Bird. If she's feeling any better. So we'll see how that goes. So, the last poem of the night belongs to Mr. Frank. So we will get him up on the board. I want to thank everybody that joined me tonight. I have had a great time with the darkness of it all. Rack starting and ending with me, as always. I really appreciate that. Wayne Jett, for coming in and sharing his extreme darkness with me. Deb, absolutely. She came in and joined me. Crystal, thank you for coming in. EP, thank you for joining us. Blue, thank you for coming in and joining me. My Poets, Laughing Soul, Lockdown Lars, Blue, Deborah Lee, Wayne Chet, Stephen 76, and Frank. So Frank is on the board. Let's go ahead and hit play for him. And we will then be able to say goodnight to everybody.
I cannot for my soul remember how, when, or even precisely where I first became acquainted with the Lady Lygia. Long years have since elapsed in my memory, feeble through much suffering. From my mere admission, I have never known such a woman as Lygia, the once beautiful stranger I met in the ancient decaying city near the Rhine. For she is the haunting image of the radiance of an opium dream, or an unrelenting episode of another horrible hallucination. I dream about a stricken mortality, of a fragile body, the daunting menace of her gasping breath within the cerements. As she rises from the dawning sleep of a saturnine and charnel abyss, when the midnight rain accompanies the flashing lightning, echoic sun's airy winds blow forcibly the fire of unbridled terror. The cackling crows hover above the protruding edge of the roof. The ghastly steps of a restless soul walk upon the nocturnal earth as a shuttle, like a black cat searching for the lover that had caused the dripping teardrops. She stands there before the door, drenched in the pouring rain, emaciated with her flowing raven hair illuminated with the lapid glow of her eyes. A wretched prisoner of a broken illusion, desolated in the moral storm. The death knell of doom resounds the tintinnabulation of the metallic bells, and I bear witness to the dreadful corpse of my beloved Lygia, for she lives. For she lives! She lives! She lives! No! No! Can you hear her breath?
She's alive because she's eaten Stephen. No, that is a great read, great poem. Love the details in this, her hair, her breath, everything. Another great spin on Poe's tale of Lygia. Great read. I mean, Frank always has this great way of telling a story, and he does not fail us here. Thank you for bringing it, Frank. As always, I enjoy what you bring in a poem and in your storytelling poems. That's really amazing. Rack, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I like that he took the comparison to Stephen, like you mentioned, that it's the same thought but different execution. You could see the parallels to the story, but at the same time, the difference in the storytelling. You know, they each has their own style, and he's got the spookiness in his production and his voice and everything. And, you know, it still has the shock and awe of, you know, her being alive. Although, you know, yeah. I guess he leaves her less fulfilled than Stephen did.
Yes. Yes.
It was a cool piece, Frank. Well done.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you for hanging out with me tonight, sir. I really appreciate it. But now it's time to say goodbye to all my company.
Thank you for your blog talk.
10 o'clock. Sleep well, my dear.
Good night, John.
Have a good holiday, if I don't. Yes. All right. Love you, darling.
Enjoy the turkey.
I will. I'll talk to you later. Bye, babe.
Good night.
Good night.